Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Greaves Cotton Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Nagesh Bhasinghalli, Group CEO and MD, and Mr. Dalpat Jain, Group CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks are concluded. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nagesh Bhasinghalli, Group CEO and MD of Greaves Cotton Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're all staying well and staying safe. I welcome you all to Greaves Cotton Q4 earnings conference call. Let me begin by giving an overview of the business, and our CFO, Mr. Dalpat Jain, will take you through the financials of the quarter. FY22 has been a pivotal year for us for many reasons. In no particular order, it's been the turnaround in our TV segment, where the team has done a remarkable story in terms of building the EV line of business, right? Building that to one of the top players in the EV industry. This is a clear outcome of our product diversification strategy. In addition to that, I would like to reiterate that the non-auto engine segment and the retail segments have also bounced back and reaching pre-COVID levels. Other noteworthy mentions during the year include the addition of a new manufacturing plant and an experience center for Ampere at Ranipet in Tamil Nadu. The inauguration of our multi-brand EV retail platform, which was the Auto EV Mart in Bengaluru, which sells us a lot of brands in clean mobility. These initiatives have consolidated our position in the EV segment from an ecosystem standpoint, where we offer vehicles, spares, service, financing for the entire EV ecosystem. We are also pleased to announce that the performance of our auto segment has continued to reach the quarterly benchmark, and CFO will get into some of the details on the numbers. The non-auto and the retail business, like I said before, are returning to pre-COVID levels, and we believe that will contribute to our top-line growth going forward. During the quarter, we've also incorporated a wholly owned subsidiary in Delaware, U.S., under Greaves Technologies Inc., i.e., GTL as it's called, or Greaves Technologies Limited. GTL is a dynamic innovation technology-oriented global engineering services company with offices both in now in India and in the U.S., and with MNC customers doing engineering services. We also did acquisition for. We completed an acquisition in the e-3-wheeler space under the Elee brand name, ELE, for the e-rickshaws, where Greaves Electric Mobility now owns 100% of that brand. 26% stake in another electric three-wheeler company called MLR Auto to expand our last mile ecosystem. This will get us into newer geographies and of course tap into newer demographics over a period of time. We'll continue to work to build a comprehensive ecosystem focusing on several areas, including clean mobility, be it engines, be it vehicles, electric vehicles, et cetera. Retail expansion through multi-brand retail as well as our Greaves Retail. Finance availability through our Greaves Finance, and the development of our core engines business as well over a period of time. Let me now hand it over to the CFO to talk about the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Nagesh. Good morning, everyone. Happy to talk about the financial numbers that company reported in quarter four of financial year 2022. After at least 6 quarters of COVID impacted business environment, in quarter four, company reported the highest ever revenue of 621 crores. And within the three main business segments that we have, engines, retail, and e-mobility, we have seen significant growth in e-mobility, with revenue growing 3.5 times compared to last year's quarter four. And the share of e-mobility in the group revenue has now grown to 38%. Our consolidated EBITDA was at 41 crores. And if you look at the revenue growth, both year-on-year as well as sequential quarter, on a year-on-year basis, it grew by 19%. And sequentially, it reported a growth of 28%. If I talk about full financial year, company had a 14% growth in consolidated revenue and reported 1,710 crores. If you look at balance sheet, with the cash flow management which company has been focusing on and also the focus on working capital, company's liquidity position has improved. The standalone net cash position is 416 crore as on 31st of March. At consolidated level, including the external debt that our subsidiaries have taken, the consolidated net cash position was 205 crores. Companies focus on R&D and on increasing the operational efficiencies continued. The initiatives which were taken to consolidate plants at one location, the business restructuring, focusing on individual businesses, helped companies save close to 45 crores compared to pre-COVID annual fixed overheads. And that augurs well as we go into normalized business environment. We expect margin to improve from where we have closed Q4 of FY22. The company has also strengthened its management team and with the appointment of some of the leadership positions. We will continue to focus on each of the business segments that Nagesh spoke about. With that, we'll be happy to open the session for interactive questions and answers. Over to you, Lizan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. Firstly, on this two-wheeler realizations, I think I see that there's a significant increase versus third quarter as well. Is it like around 95,000 rupees per vehicle, two-wheeler realizations in the quarter?
So, Ashutosh, let me take this question. If you look at the share of city speed or high speed portfolio in our e-mobility, that has now grown to 73%. And also share of three-wheelers in the overall volume has increased. So as a combination, the per vehicle realization, you are right, is now close to 95,000 rupees, which is combination of both two-wheelers and three-wheelers. If I look at standalone two-wheelers, it is close to 80,000 rupees.
Sorry, how much is it for standalone two-wheeler?
80,000, close to 80,000 rupees.
80,000 will not work out to... I think this quarter we have seen a fall in two-wheeler, three-wheeler volumes quarter on quarter.
That's correct. So, that's because of the festive season versus the peak was in the festive season of the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter it has grown.
So what's the relation in three-wheelers, particularly e-rickshaws?
Typically, e-rickshaw will be anywhere between 1,10,000 to 1,25,000, depending on the model that we have.
Okay, 1,20,000. But then also, I think 80,000 will not give this number of 240 crores.
So 240 is both combination of two-wheelers and three-wheelers? If you take...
If I assume 1.2 lakh as well on three-wheelers, that will probably be 33 crores. So almost 207 crores will be from two-wheelers on 22,000 volume. I guess realization should, this phase coming out to be around 91,000 rupees.
No, so Ashutosh, to be exact, it is around 86,500 per vehicle realization. And then there is a sale of spares, which is also part of...
Is that also growing well, spare space basically?
That's growing now, though the numbers are not very significant in the overall two-wheeler revenue, but as the time period is increasing, the spare sales is also increasing the overall portfolio.
And I think 73% share of high speed was for the full year, but in fourth quarter, will it be significantly higher?
In the fourth quarter, the same share was around close to 80%.
Okay. And one more thing, if I look at this consolidated balance sheet, there is other financial assets of 154 crores. Is it related to subsidies which are due from government?
That's correct. So 154 crore includes close to 110 crores of subsidy. And that is part of it.
And generally, how much time it takes for government to give subsidies? Like, say,
in normal cycle, it's between 90 to 120 days. But there were certain, and you know, this all goes through a through a portal. In the quarter four, there were certain technical hitches where government was also upgrading the portal. So number of days were more as at the 31st of March. But in a normal cycle, between 90 to 120 days is the FAME subsidy collection cycle.
This should come down basically in the Q1 basically.
That's correct.
And lastly, in terms of supply chain, especially battery sourcing, is there any issues right now or the cost has gone up, any color on that?
I think I can take that. Ashutosh, good morning. Thanks for the question. Supply chain, like it for the entire industry, right, remains a challenge. Our supply chain team, fully aided by the Greaves Cotton supply chain expertise, has been working with our suppliers who are localized, plus the source itself outside the country. For example, you asked a specific question on battery cells, right? And to look at one quarter ahead, two quarters ahead. So that's kind of how we are trying to manage it, the situation. But clearly, supply chain is something that we continue to monitor very, very closely, and it's monitored on a daily basis.
But because that, there will not be any margin issue, like whatever margin we delivered in this quarter, it should improve subsequently in the next year.
Ashutosh, now there are two parts to it. One, in the short term or in between, because of, you know, right now there are a lot of uncertainties considering the overall geopolitical situation. So there may be disruption in a short term considering the lag in recovery of the pricing. But if you see from a full year perspective, the overall gross margin should improve for e-mobility business.
Okay, got it. Thanks. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Chopra from Union Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir, and thanks for taking my question. I just had two questions. First thing, this government PLI scheme, which was announced, you know, our name was not there. Could you sort of highlight why we are not there?
So, Gaurav, there are two parts of the PLI scheme. One, which was at the OEM level, where there were two criteria: either the group revenue should be more than 10,000 crore, or you should have startup in the last financial year. And that's where Ampere did not qualify because as a group on the revenue criteria also, the qualification criteria was a higher number, and from a startup perspective, it was the company has already been started many years back and it was earning revenue from the e-mobility. The second part was on the component front, and there is a technical discussion which is happening with the authorities on qualification criteria. So that's where the current status is on the PLI scheme.
Got it. Secondly, sir, from the perspective of these EV fires, what I've been sort of reading about it, of course, we haven't had any incidents so far. Just want to understand, you know, where do you, you know, procure your battery cells, or do you have the BMS in-house, or, you know, probably wanted to get some sense on quality control from your side. That was the last question from my side.
I think our technology team, starting with our CTO, right, we have a global CTO. Obviously, safety is of paramount importance, and validation and focusing of the vehicle from the entire level, from the cell quality all the way to battery pack design to, like you're saying, BMS, right, are all things that the engineering teams are working on, point number one. Point number two, keep in mind we have been very fortunate. We have more than 130,000 plus customers working with them over several years. In fact, Ampere is a 13-year-old company now. So, and understanding the duty cycles, right, at different temperatures. So, our engineering teams are taking this very, very seriously, and all the rigor of validation and safety and protocols are being looked at. Thank you.
So is it is the BMS being sort of taken care of in the by Ampere in-house, by the in-house team, or it is outsourced?
It's a combination. We have capability in-house, plus we work with strategic supplier partners who give us the BMS, right? So we do both.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Mishra from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just to follow up on last question. So, have you seen any impact?
To interrupt, Mr. Mishra. We are not able to hear you clearly.
Yeah, can you hear me right now?
Sir, your voice is breaking up. Can you use the handset mode while speaking and not the speakerphone?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Just wanted to check after the fire incident happened. So have we seen any impact on in booking inquiry of late in last 2 months in our case also?
So in general, demand has held up. I mean, as evidenced by our 25,000 plus sales in the last quarter, right? Quality, point number one. Point number two, yes, there have been customer questions, customer education, customer discussion. So we are working with our sales partners, our dealer partners, and a comprehensive training, awareness, education, right, is in process. But no, we are not seeing any significant change as of now.
And you said this 110 crore subsidy is outstanding from government. So how much subsidy we have received in FY22 full year?
So, Dhananjay, in the FY22, the total subsidy that we have received in cash was close to 60 crores. As you know, the high-speed share started increasing from the October onwards, and subsidy is eligible on the high-speed vehicles. So, out of the total 170 or 180 crores, close to 60 crores was collected during the year.
And lastly, where are we in terms of the stake sale in India, in terms of raising funds?
Sorry, your last question was not clear.
So, in stake sale in Ampere, when is going to happen? Any
so
development?
Right now, happen? Process is on, and as we had spoken in the last quarter's con call, we expect the process to get completed by Q2 of this financial year. So,
okay. The
progress is being made accordingly.
And the only other thing I'll add is there is strong interest. and that interest continues, and I think let the process play itself out. We will announce as and when we are ready.
Okay, that's all the way.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Amin Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on achieving profitability on the EV business. My first question was on the EV gross margin. So can you help us understand that the improvement in profitability that we have seen, how much is, you know, operating leverage driven and how much is gross margin driven? And hence, you know, what is the kind of outlook given, you know, what we're seeing in the global side on commodities as well as on supplies on the sell side?
So, I mean, around 5% out of the EBITDA margin improvement is driven by the operating efficiency improvement. As we had said earlier also, we had built the scale for much higher revenue, and as the revenues have grown, 5% has come from the operating efficiencies. Close to 3.3% or 3.5% is from the gross margin improvement.
Okay, understood. And I don't know if you can share this number. I mean, gross margins right now would be what, like in the range of 20% higher, if you can give an indication?
It's between early to mid-20s in that range.
Okay.
And actually
okay.
Those numbers we have in our consolidated minus standalone financials.
Okay. Thank you. Second question was, you know, on the cost inflation on the non-raw material side, you know, because the commodity inflation is, I think, well understood. But I think we are seeing inflation across the board on employee, at least in the economy. I don't know, you know, if you're seeing that in your company, as well as, you know, other expenses. There has been, you know, worries around power cuts and power cost going up. So can you give us some, you know, indication as to how things are looking for you and how you're managing that inflation going forward?
So on the first part, which is related to manpower, Greaves has the adequate or the overall compensation mechanism where according to performance and other criteria, the annual increments are given, and those are in line with the industry. As you know, in the manufacturing industry, the overall increase is typically lesser than what you are seeing in the software. Maybe your question is more from the IT and other industries point of view. The second piece on the other expenses, overall the weight in the total P&L, if you look at from other expenses point of view, it is less than 6% or 7%. So to that extent, we are not seeing going to see a significant impact. The main monitorable for us is now how the RMC behaves, and that is where the focus of the entire management is.
Great. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Jain from Ventura Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Bharat.
Yeah. Hi. So just wanted to understand that there have been recent incidents with the products of other companies. Do we have any such complaints on our product line, and what are the steps taken to ensure that we get a good product on for a customer?
I thought we answered this question earlier. Basically, like we said, we are looking at everything from a battery cell, BMS, our testing validation process. We are in our Gen 2 of our product. So it's all of those steps that I repeated earlier, right? I think we are taking all of those steps, right? And obviously, Ampere is a company that's been around 13 years. We are into Gen 2 of our products and working with our customer base of greater than 1 lakh customers, right? So we continue to keep working on all the customer needs.
Great, sir. And also there has been recent moments on the like CXO level. So any guidelines on that if you can share?
Yeah, in fact, I'm glad you asked that. We have brought in significant leadership capability both at the GCL level. Dr. Arup Basu has joined us, who was running a former listed company before. He has joined us to lead the GCL side of the house, right? And on the GEM side too, we have brought in a dedicated leadership, right, at the CEO level. So you will see us strengthening the portfolio, you will see us focusing on talent, building capacity. In fact, we've already announced that we have gone up to the 250,000 mark, the 20,000 plus per month in Ranipet, higher than the 10,000 per month that was last year, right? We will continue to invest in products, and we'll continue to keep focusing on some of this.
Thanks, Mr. Nagesh. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. That was just a very basic question. Given that your volumes on the EV side are scaling up now,
Mr. Shah, we are not able to hear you clearly.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
So my question was on EV two-wheeler capacity. Given that we are now ramping up the volumes, how are you looking at your capacity? One, and secondly, between insourcing and outsourcing, how are you thinking about what stages of ramp up you would like to have more insourcing versus outsourcing?
Good questions. So a couple of things. One is on the capacity. We have ramped up to about 250,000 units. So as we said, when we built Ranipet, we had built the brick and mortar that could go up to a million units, right, over two shifts. Today, we are comfortably able to deliver 2 years. We are going to bring it in-house. So things like that, we will do it based on commercial programs. And as the volumes pick up, you will see some of that. But we will continue to keep working with our strategic partners.
So what will be the critical volume level that will make you to have more of insourcing of paint shop and assembly lines? It is 500,000, is it the right number or it could be a higher number?
No, like I said, I think we can very quickly go up to a million units as the demand comes in, right? The brick and mortar is ready on plant one. And right now, like I said, we have gone up to 250 and we're running in one shift, right? And as and when we need to, we will increase the capacity by adding incremental conveyor lines. So I think that in-house capacity from a manufacturing, I'm not too concerned about. Like I mentioned earlier, I think our global supply chains and the challenges that we have in chips, the challenges that we have in cells, right, globally, I think is the challenge that we're all facing as an industry. So to us, we need to manage that very, very closely. And as and when that situation improves, we will add capacity based on demand as needed. That won't be a constraint.
Thank you very much. The second question was on the engine side. On the non-automotive engines, if you can add some color, how should we look at the growth from here up?
Yeah, the non-auto engine business did about, if I look at it, right, the non-auto products did about totally 12,000 plus in terms of volumes, right, units, and I think it's in the deck. When I look at it, I think the non-auto business post-COVID is coming back because of the onset of construction, infrastructure, farm equipment. So some of the engine usage, we expect it to grow. Obviously, our non-auto small engines, our genset engines, We are seeing good traction post-COVID, and we expect that to continue. The challenge, again, same thing here with the supply chain and the commodity price rise. There has been obviously a RMC challenge. That is something that the team is monitoring, both by taking internal efficiency measures as well as price increases. That's how I look at that.
Yeah. And if I just add numbers for this, in the quarter four, the non-auto share in the consolidated revenue was close to 30%. And that share we expect to remain or grow from here on as we go forward.
But sir, can non-auto stabilize at a much higher level from the current 30% number? Say like 40-45%, can it go at those levels given the near-term tailwind on the demand side?
See, one part is on the share side where we have e-mobility also growing quarter after quarter in overall revenue. So share would, may not be a right indicator, but from growth perspective, we definitely expect non-auto business to grow in the healthy at a healthy rate.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll come back for more.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Good morning. Sir, if you can throw some light on Ampere and Westway sales for the current year and how much we are expecting going forward on FY23-24 basis. Thank you.
So the total, I'll start with the Greaves Electric Mobility. Greaves Electric Mobility roughly did about 25,000 vehicles in 22. This was against 10,000 vehicles in 21. So that was roughly about 150%, I'm rounding out numbers, 150% growth year over year. When you talk about Ampere is a two-wheeler brand. Ampere sold more than 22,000 vehicles in 22 and versus 8,000 vehicles, roughly 170% increase. So when you, and again, these, what I'm giving you is the Q4 numbers. When you look at full year, Ampere sold roughly 52,000 vehicles versus 22 the year before. EV or a three-wheeler sold 10,400 versus 4,000. And total GEM sold about 62,000 vehicles versus 27,000. So all in all, I think it's a significant growth aided by good acceptance of our product, the Magnus EX that was launched on the two-wheeler, and our EV products. And I think that complements us because EV is at the bottom of the pyramid, giving lives and livelihoods both to the B2C and the B2B customer, right? And B2C, I mean, in terms of the people carrying capability as well as a cargo carrying capability. And then when you look at the Ampere, it's both the B2C customer, the retail customer, as well as the institutional customer.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So on this diesel three-wheeler volumes, it was around 15,000 last quarter. How do you see it ramping up in subsequent months? Are you seeing improvement versus Q4 now?
Yes, I think we are definitely seeing with the advent of schools and colleges that have been open, offices being open, the last mile connectivity, especially the shared mobility, is coming back. And as we all know, this industry was very badly hit, almost 70%+ down, right, during the COVID era. So we do definitely see when you look at Q4 versus Q3 numbers and when we are going, I mean, clearly we can see the numbers, right? Auto engines did about 15,000 plus units, right? And so we see the trend line, especially month on month, the industry size, when I look at diesel plus CNG, was roughly about 600,000 pre-COVID, had gone down to 200,000 in the COVID era. We see that creeping back up to 400,000+. So I think we definitely see signs, and CNG is coming back, and I think our OEMs, depending on the success of our OEMs, we anticipate that auto engine business should continue that recovery.
Can we go towards the 25,000 run rate number, say, or maybe 23,000 number over next, say, one or two quarters? Is that possible?
I don't want to give you future guidance on this. The reason being, this is, as you know, purely OEM driven. But what we working with the OEMs, we are realizing, yes, there is optimism. Month after month, we are seeing the difference. The order book that we are seeing, 30 days, 60 days, there is optimism. And so we have capacity. We can build it. Now the question is, can the demand come back to that level? I think it's a question of time. But what we are also seeing is obviously the mix is changing. Diesel is coming back, but CNG is coming back stronger. Right, and over a period of time, we see electric also in this business going up, which will help our MLR business as CNG and electric come up.
So what is share of CNG in our volumes as of now, like last year?
Sorry, come again?
What is share of CNG in our volumes?
Dalpat, you want to take that?
Yeah, so it was close to 20% Ashutosh in Q4.
Q4, 20%. Okay. And non-auto engines, while we did very well last year, this year we have seen almost 10% decline. So how are we seeing this business and what are the reasons behind this decline in this current financial, last financial year?
So Ashutosh, in the FY22, the two segments which contributes the volume for non-auto engines. So there are three parts of our overall non-auto business. One is the light equipment which goes for farm equipment business. And then the power gen sets which have high value. And that's where in the overall revenue, once every unit contributes a higher revenue. And then there are small engines which gets used for purposes in the industrial places and also in the small locations. There we saw a little bit of, we can say, weaker market situation. But in the overall broader scheme of things, we expect these volumes to come back. And that should not be a problem. There is no fundamental shift. It is only a timing gap which we saw between last year and this year. Last year, the lockdown being of a longer period, the growth was mainly in the third and fourth quarter. This year, the volumes were also in second, third, and fourth quarter. So overall, on a full year basis, if you look at it, yes, there is a 10% reduction, but we don't expect it to remain at that level on a permanent basis. The volume should go back towards where it has been in the pre-COVID period.
You mean to say this is mainly small engine used in industries where the demand is particularly weak?
Exactly. So these are basically small engines used for the purpose of marine, for the purpose of some of the industrial purposes. And that's where we saw the quarterly spread being different than what it was in FY21, considering the overall COVID situation. On a long-term basis, we don't see a permanent reset in the volumes.
And the agri-related product that we supply, are we seeing some pickup over the last 2-3 months? Because this is again a market which is not doing well. So is there an improvement over the last 2-3 months in that?
So here the main issue was, so there are two parts. One is related to overall industry, and there the pickup is going to be more driven by the cycles. The second piece, which was specific to Greaves, was the product that was earlier being imported from China, and we have now localized it. The new product is being registered with various government authorities. As you know, farm equipments have subsidy elements, and the product needs to be registered within various state governments. So many of the state governments, it has got the permission and registration. Some are still pending, and that is where that part is a temporary or a short-term factor in the world.
And lastly, on this electric two-wheeler, is Magnus EX now our largest selling product?
Yes, that's correct. On the two-wheeler, yes.
Okay, so people are preferring that long range rather than lower range. So compared to Magnus, basically, EX is doing better with the ground.
Yeah, EX
is going to pay the higher premium for that range.
Yeah, EX is doing well. But keep in mind, though, as part of our strategy, we were very clear. We operate at the lower end as well as we operate in the what we call the city speed. It's our hypothesis that it's in the city speed that a lot of customers prefer, and of course with the FAME II subsidy and the petrol prices going up, right, the unit economics are very favorable. Hence, there is a lot of pull for that product.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and thanks for taking my question. Continuing on the non-auto, the farm, the light equipment, I mean, is that largely power tillers or is there some other equipment?
These are mainly pump sets and power tillers.
And in terms of on the EV side, could you sort of indicate what sort of price increases have been you've been able to put through in terms of given the commodity cost pressures, and I mean we understand that battery prices, etc., and all these things are going up.
So Nagesh, could you take the pricing part? Sonal, before that, if you look at the realization increase, and when we were talking about in the earlier question, the per unit realization, if on a full year basis, has gone up from 60,000 to close to 81,000, and for the quarter four towards 86,000. That's a combination of increase in share from a slow speed to city speed and high speed, and with the increase of our higher end model, Magna CX. Within that, at the price increase part, it has been corresponding to the inflation that we saw, though there has been time lag, maybe of a month or a 2 months, but the team has been able to get the price increase corresponding to what we saw as an inflation in the commodity price increases. Maybe Nagesh, you want to add more on it?
I can just add to that. So overall, I think, like Dalpat said, we have been very conscious that at this segment, with our price value proposition, we continue to look at the market, and we have taken price increases appropriately. We have taken price increases because the commodity prices have gone up. But when you also look at our history, and that's one of the things I'll leave you with, our average ASP has gone from the traditional 30 plus 1,000 rupees a couple of years ago where we were traditionally playing to now, like the CFO was saying, about 86, 87,000 rupees, right? So I think we've continuously believed in understanding the consumer, adding the value that the customer cares for or customer wants, and taking price appropriately, right? In fact, on a like-to-like basis, our model is slightly more expensive than probably the top two, three competitors in that space. I'm talking about like-to-like model, like a city speed to city speed, yeah?
Got it, sir. So basically, to understand, I mean, you have been able to pass on the increased supply chain costs, primarily on battery and some of these sides to the consumer.
Yes.
And just in terms of, I mean, like a broader question in terms of what would be your key objective in terms of next for FY23 growth on the EV side? I mean, what are the key milestones you're looking to achieve here?
So clearly, like we've said, obviously we've taken up the capacity to 50,000 units, right? We have the Magna CX that's doing well, and we continue to keep investing on new products at the appropriate time. We'll talk about it, right? So investing in plant capacity, investing in the people, investing in products, new products and technology, right? And gaining market share or gaining a scale, because this is a scale-driven business, and also working on the customer centricity, right? I think those will be the priorities for this year. And clearly, right now, we are in an investment phase. This is a growing business. We do see the traction coming in, and we will continue to focus on that, both in the two-wheeler and in the three-wheeler side.
Right. And this last question, I mean, like on the e-three-wheelers, I mean, what portion would now be still lead acid?
E-three-wheeler on the lower end, e-rickshaw, it's still the majority, by the way. Right? It's also moving towards lithium. On as we move towards the L5 category, so the L3 category, which is the e-rickshaw category, is still in our case lead acid, but I expect over a period of time that is beginning to move. We're already seeing early signs of lithium. Keep in mind that's a very price sensitive segment because, like I said, it's lives and livelihoods. People take that and earn livelihood out of that, right? And so we have to be very sensitive what the customer wants in that segment. And on the L5 segment, which is a typical auto, which is the electric auto, there I see it moving very heavily towards lithium.
Got it. No, so I was just, because your presentation shows 10% share of lead acid. So I'm just trying to understand, like,
that's only two-wheeler side.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Thank you.
The next question is in the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So I wanted to understand, like, in the e-mobility space, where are we seeing traction from geography-wise, either tier 1 cities or tier 2 cities? Could you give a sense of that?
Sure. The good part is Ampere, which traditionally started out with South India based a couple of years ago, right, 30 months ago, we are now very equally distributed. I think when you look at our north and our west and our south, it's almost equally distributed, right? And east is coming up very rapidly, point number one. Right? So our customers are coming from all the regions. Customers are definitely coming in from both tier one and tier two. And so I think I anticipate that from big towns, obviously the towns like Bangalore, Bombay, Pune, obviously are obvious choices, Chandigarh, but we also see the second tier towns coming up quite strongly. So in our case, we are seeing actually traction happen on both sides. And with our dealer network growing, we are capturing some of that.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Yashwant, a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Nagesh and Alpit. So I have a couple of questions. One is with respect to the models that we are planning for the future, coming future. So that is first question. And the second question is with respect to after-sales income. So name it like the service or otherwise as spares. So how much as a percentage do we see on an overall revenue?
So I'll answer the first question, and maybe Dalpat, you can take the second question. So in terms of the overall, Dalpat, you want to take the second question after sales as a percent of the revenue?
Sure. So Yashwant, as you know, if you look at our overall volumes, they have been growing in last couple of years, and most of the vehicles are in the initial period. So right now, the income towards spares and services is in early single digit as a percentage of the overall Ampere revenue. But as we look at the future, and if you go by the trends, what has been in the ICE industry, maybe in electric mobility, we will not see those kind of percentages considering the moving parts are lesser, but still we expect in our business plan that number to be close in the early double digit. Nagesh, on the new models.
Yeah, on the new model, like I said before, I think on the two-wheeler side, we're working on actually two new products, but we are not ready to announce it yet at the right time. And as we get closer, we'll talk about it, right? So rest assured, I think we've introduced several new products. The Magda CX was the last one last year, and we continue to keep working on that. As and when we are ready, we'll talk about that. On the electric three-wheeler, I think we are working on the L5, and as and when we are ready to launch that, we will talk about that. So clearly, product development focus will continue. And as we get closer to the launch, then we'll talk more about it.
Okay. Are we targeting any, in specific numbers that we would want to do each year going forward? I mean, the number of models with respect to new models?
No, it's not categorized by that. I think we would rather focus on the customer, what the customer needs are, and focus on kind of growing our volumes and our market share. That's kind of what will drive that. So you're going to continue to see some of that.
Just a follow-up question on the new models also. Are we considering bike segment as such in the near future?
I think it's a little premature to talk about that. Like I said, when it comes to product strategy, I would rather talk about it as we get closer. Not for anything else, but the team is working on a myriad of product strategy-related stuff. And from a competitive advantage, we would like to get talk about it as we get closer.
Thanks, Madhish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Just a follow-up on the profitability of the subsidiary. There is the improvement that we have seen in the quarter can be attributable to the ramp-up in EV business, right? That is the current EV two-wheeler volume. Is there right understanding? So around 12 crore of EBITDA that we have generated versus same time last year, it was largely flattish. So the question is, sir, as you ramp up this revenue, this 242 crores of subsidy revenue, how should we look at this operating leverage benefit?
So, Chirag, I'll start and maybe Nagesh can talk on a broader part. But company's focus, as we have spoken in several of the last few quarters calls also, profitability, and Greaves has been talking about it, that we don't want to burn too much of money. But at the same time, our focus will remain on also continuing the market leadership and being in the top four or five. So in the short to mid-term, the focus will not be only on improving the margins or increasing the profitability. It will also be to reinvest those profits and build the brand, reinvest on the marketing activities and some of the other fundamental things that we are working on. So from margin point of view, yes, this quarter we have seen close to 11 crore in the e-mobility business, as you saw from our financial results. And that was a result of operating efficiency and also the gross margin improvement. But going forward, company will also do investment in the marketing activities.
Okay. So directionally, the operating leverage that we, generally look at, we have still not hit the sweet spot to focus on operating leverage. That is the right way to look at it. The reinvestment
that's correct. Operating leverage from a fixed expenses point of view is there and that is kicking in. And we are going to continue building on that. But on the expenses which are going to drive the revenue, that is where we will continue to invest. That's an area where we have to do a lot more as we go forward.
And so what are the areas that you are looking to invest? If you can just broadly indicate.
Yeah, I can take that. So clearly, one area would be the manufacturing capacity, and which we continue to grow. Like I said, going to 250,000. Another one is the localization and working with our suppliers and bringing better new products, right? So product technology would be the second. Third and probably most important would be the talent. Right? We continue to keep adding talent both from India and global and building a strong team of professionals who have not only got us here but also will take us to the next level. So we will continue to invest on all of this keep investing in the GEM, Greaves Electric Mobility Business, as we go.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Joshi from Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks a lot for your time and congrats on a good set of numbers. So my question is with respect to the dealer network. Where it is right now and where do you expect this by the end of year in e-mobility two-wheeler?
Yeah, I can take that. At an overall level, we are over 600. And let me explain that. That includes the two-wheeler network, right, under the brand name of Ampere, which are Ampere exclusive. Plus the EV network, which is the Electra, plus the Greaves retail network, that does the multiple, right? And we'll continue to keep adding that. Every month we are continuing to add. The good part is we're getting a lot of interest from dealer partners across the country, point number one. Point number, and so that will continue. And we will add, we are very cognizant of two things. We want to make sure our dealer partners are viable, are successful. Hence, we will add as and when the demand in that particular city exceeds, right? point number one. Point number two, in some cases, what we are doing is we are taking existing dealers whom we are very grateful for because they've been with us from day one, but they may not have the bandwidth to grow to the next level. So they, along with a local partner, right, how do we expand together? So we are using various strategies, especially on our two-wheeler side, to grow it, either through the exclusive Ampere network or through the multi-brand Greaves retail network. So that's one thing. And MLR through the three-wheeler network is just beginning to ramp up. From almost nothing, we are growing to 50-plus now, and it will continue to. So you will see us ramp up on two-wheeler Ampere, e-rickshaw, Ely, and on the three-wheeler MLR product. On all the three, you will see the network growing across. Last but not the least, we are a firm believer, especially in two-wheeler, that not all the business happens just by an old brick-and-mortar store. It's a digital showroom, meaning our experience is showing that the customer is almost doing 50-60% plus of the work online before and doing the research. So how do we also have access to the online or what we call the digital, the physical plus the digital stores, right, is I think also the focus kind of everywhere. We believe this business will need a combination of both to make it successful.
Got it, sir. And the second question is respect to your recently announced tie-up with Bounce Infinity. But can you please explain the tie-up in detail and any financial discipline that?
Yeah, at a high level I can cover in the interest of time. So we have been very clear from day one that in some of this faster moving technology areas, whether it was fast charging or battery swapping, especially in the case of battery swapping where it could be asset heavy, that we would go with partners, right? So our we've been working with a series of partners, both of those companies that you talked about, right? And our products, as you know, we were one of the few people who had a removable battery in the first place from an innovation standpoint. Now, battery swapping is a logical next step, and we are obviously willing to offer that to customers who want that, right? So you will see us more and more working with partners like that in certain areas where we may not want to take on the investment ourselves, right, from an asset standpoint, right? So I think you'll continue to see that. So for us, it's a strategic way of making sure that our B2B or B2C customer, if that's what they want, we'll deliver it to our partners.
Got it, sir. So the capital will be invested by Bounce and not us, correct?
It could be individual, yes. Our model is it could be a combination, but let us see how it develops. Yeah, a lot of discussions underway. But yes, our principle is in some of these areas we would not be capital heavy. Let's put it that way.
Okay. And this would be for both two-wheelers and three-wheelers.
Yeah, ultimately for both. Yeah, it will probably start with two-wheelers first.
Okay, sir. So thank you so much for your time and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of the Seth from Boyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so just a quick check. On the electric mobility business, we've done in the quarter ended March 22, as per the segment numbers, 237 crores of revenues, right?
That's correct.
And some, so what kind of, you know, I know this is across various products, various lines at more than one location, but still a rough ballpark of what kind of capacity utilization does this or load on the lines does this correspond to? Are we at 50, 60, 80%, 100%? Where are we?
So, Dipen, this is made up of two main product segments, two-wheelers and three-wheelers.
Right.
In the two-wheelers, demand is higher than the supply.
Of course.
Right? So that is where the capacity utilization, and that's where company has been ramping up from 10,000 to now close to 20,000 a month, that's what Nagesh was talking about. So there, and when I'm talking about capacity utilization, it is not only the element of what manufacturing capacity we have, it is also linked with all the supply chain partners.
The vendor capacity.
Exactly, because they are able to take it. So there, I would say that we are at the maximum level of capacity from a supply side point of view. There the issue is more with the demand. Similarly, in LE also, the supply is at a higher end in terms of the overall utilization.
Right. So this corresponds to an annual run rate. Now, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but just theoretically, this corresponds to an annual run rate of about 1,000 crores of revenue, right? And earlier in the call, somebody mentioned that the simplest way to look at the EV business is to just look at console minus standalone. And when I do console minus standalone on your balance sheet numbers, okay, the net block which I would assign to the EV business is just about 40-45 crores. I think it's about 40 crores if I just take the difference of the two net block numbers. So you mean to tell me you can run a 1,000 crore EV business with a 40 crore net block in the EV business?
Yeah, so there are two parts there. One, as you know, this was an inorganic acquisition in 2018, and close to 200 crores were paid, which, as you know, in consolidation gets eliminated. And as part of that, there was a lot of R&D and machinery, technology, etc., which had come as part of that.
Yes, so a lot of IPR which was capitalized on the balance sheet, which doesn't figure in net block. Exactly. But I'm just looking at it from a manufacturing perspective.
No, there is a second part also.
Okay.
The second part is related to Ranipet plant, which was, as you know, the Greaves had that, and Greaves had sold it to GMPL. So when you are doing standalone minus, console minus standalone, this transaction also gets eliminated into intercompany. So
okay.
Close to 100 crore would be the right number if you look at.
But still a 10x gross block to revenue. So after all, how much of value add can you achieve by being that intensive?
Well, that is where there is a lot of new investment, as we were talking in the earlier call, right, which is going to go into expansion of capacities, bringing some of the strategic parts in-house, and that's where the investment is being planned as we go forward. So that investment piece for the e-mobility will continue.
I understand. Now that makes sense. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dipin. Rizan, we can close the call with this. Maybe we can hand over to Nagesh for closing remarks.
Sure, sir. Mr. Basan Mahali, can you give your closing remarks?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all for your continued interest. And would like to thank each one of you. In case you have additional queries, you can always reach our teams. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Greaves Cotton Limited, we thank you once again. Stay safe. With that, we conclude this investor call. Thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.